Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masachet Bava Kama Daf Tzadi Amud Aleph, at the bottom of the Amud, at Mishnah Vav of the 8th Perek. And this Mishnah is devoted to the issue of Boshet. Hatokea l'chavero noten lo sela. If somebody evidently boxes another fellow's ear, there are some other possible interpretations, that's one we'll stick with, then the automatic Boshet, besides everything else, is one sela. And the Gemara will immediately deal with what kind of maneh this is. Is it a maneh tsuri, which would then be four sela, or is it a maneh medina, which would be half a sela? Obviously the difference. Staro, if you slap the guy, no ten lo matayim zuz, you have to give 200 zuz. This is 25 sela. Lachar yado, if you slap him with the back of your hand, no ten lo arbam yod zuz, twice as much. These are all clearly culturally oriented and, levels of shame. Sarambo is no, if you tugged on somebody's ear, evidently. Talash Visaro pulled his hair. Akak Vigia Boruko, you spit at him and the spit hit him. Havir Tali Tomen, you took his garment off. Pararo Shaisha Bashuk, or you took off a woman's head covering in the shuk. Notenu Abamiel Zuz. Again, it's 400 Zuz. This is a very big amount. Now, Zeha Klal, and we're not going to get to that in this podcast, but perhaps in the next. Zeha Klal, Hakol Afik Fodo. What that means, is subject to some discussion in the Gemara as to whether this statement is a kula or a chumra, but it's all based on your own kavod, which seems to go against what we just read, unless what we just read were minimums. Amar Bakiva, afilo anim shebisrael ruin otam ki ilohim b'nei chorin sheyardum nechseim. Even the poor, who earlier we saw this statement in the name of a mayor and a breita, here Rabbi Kiva states it, that even the poorest people should be seen as formerly wealthy people who are now formerly wealthy, or no longer rich, because after all, they are the children of wealthy people. Interesting story. Uncommon to see a story like this in the Mishnah. It's a story of a fellow who uncovered a woman's head, a woman's hair in the shuk. Rabbi Kiva charged this fellow with 400 zuz. Amarlo Rebbe ten lizman. He said, give me a little time. As if to say, I need the time to get the money together. So Kiva gave him time. Shmara omedet al petach hatzira. So he waited and saw her standing in front of her doorway. Shavarta kad b'faneha voki sar shaman. He took a jug that had a little bit of oil in it and broke it in front of her. And she was clearly an emotional person. Giltaid rosha v'haytam etapachet v'anachet yadal rosha. She took her head cover off. She started hitting her head, etc. What he was trying to prove was that this is a woman who didn't care that much about having her hair uncovered. He brought Edim right in front of her to see that she was behaving this way, and then brought the Edim to Rabbi Akiva. So you want me to pay 400 zuz for uncovering this woman's hair? She uncovers her hair on her own. So Amarle, what did Rabbi Akiva answer? Lo Marta Klum, your testimony is nothing. If you hurt yourself, even though you're not allowed to, obviously you're patur. Who are you going to pay? So in other words, even though if you hurt yourself, or degrade yourself, which you're not allowed to do, nonetheless you're potter, because who are you going to pay? Nonetheless, if somebody else does the same thing to you, they can't say, well, look, you don't mind that behavior, so I can do it to you. They're still chayav. This we'll get to later on. If somebody cuts down his own trees, even though he's not allowed to, he's potter. If other people do it, they're chayav. Same kind of deal. All right, Ibayalu. The question is asked about the first clause in which there was a machloket, whether you pay a seller or maneh. Maneh tsuri tanan or maneh medina tanan. So I mentioned that in the Mishnah. So toshma, we'll find out from this story. A guy boxed another fellow's ear. They came to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who was the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and was the patriarch in the Galil. Amarle ha'amar ha'ana ha'Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And so Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya said, I'm here, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who's not here, obviously, but his opinion, Havle Manatsuri. So give the fellow a Manatsuri. So the first thing is Shema Minah Manatsuri Tanan. So obviously we understand that the Mishnah, when it says Maneh, is Manatsuri, which means that Rabbi Yehuda says that the Boshet is four times as much as the Tanakama said. Shema Minah. Now, my Ha'ana Rabbi Yossi Glili. By the way, what did he mean when he said, I and Rabbi Yossi Glili are here? If you think this is what he said, Ha'ana de Chazitach, I'm the witness who saw you. Rabbi Yosef Glili by Manetzuri, and Rabbi Yosef Glili is the one who said the opinion of Manetzuri. But that would indicate that the witness can then become a dayan. In other words, that this that the Rabbi Yehudah Nasiah is saying that I saw you, and therefore I'm the aide, and now I'm acting as a dayan. V'hatanya, we have a challenge to that. Sanhedrin shirau echad sharagat nefesh. Let's say the Beit Din themselves saw a murder. So some of them can be witnesses, and the others can act as dayanim, but you can't play both roles. That's what we taught from. Rekiva disagrees and says none of them can be dayanim because they all saw it. Now, even Rabbi Tarfon, who says that an aide can become a dayan, only said it, where you function as one or the other. In other words, even if you saw it, you can de-aid yourself and become a dayan if there's sufficient aidim. Aval aid nasa dayan lo kamar, but to be an aid and a dayan on the same case, that nobody said. So how could this Rabbi Yehudah Nasiah say, here I am as the aid and now I'm going to be the dayan? So the answer that we give is, kitanya hi kingon shara'u balayla, delolamiava dinaninhu. In other words, the Sanhedrin saw the murder at night, so they couldn't act as dayanim. And then the next day they're going to be basing their testimony on a shmuah, not on ri'iyah. So therefore they have to split up. V'ibayitema, the other possibility is Rabbi Yehudah Nasiah wasn't saying what we thought he said. Elahachi kamarle ha'ana desfira li Rabbi Yosi Aglili. I Rabbi Yosi Aglili, meaning I hold like Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Tamamanatsuri v'hasadi mishadibach. You got other witnesses here who we're not going to mention in the story. And I Rabbi Yosi Aglili, meaning we have Rabbi Yosi Aglili, and I support his opinion. So manatsuri. Zil havli manatsuri. Now back to the discussion, the dispute between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon. Sav Rabbi Kiva, the ein ein nasadayin. Does he really hold that ein ein nasadayin? V'atanya v'ikai ish reyo bevano v'agrof. This is in the case of assault that may end up leading to a death. If a man hits another man with a rock or with his fist, Shimon HaTemani Omer, Ma Egrof Miuchad Shemasur La'ida U'Le'edim. Why is a fist mentioned here? Because a fist is something that the Edim will see, and then they can bring the guy to the Beit Din, and the Beit Din could see the fist. So they can now assess whether this fist really could have caused the death. Of course, Shemasur La'ida U'Le'edim. So therefore, all murder cases have to involve testimony and evidence that's brought to the Beit Din of the murder weapon. So as opposed to something where the Edim had it, and then they lost it, when they come to Beit Din, they just tell you about it. That's out. Amar lo Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva answered back, and this is where we're going to get to the issue of Eid Nasa Dayan. Understand, did the murder happen in front of Beit Din? Do they know how much he hit him and why he hit him? Did he hit him on his leg? Did he hit him in his heart? Where did he hit him? Let's say you killed somebody by pushing off of a roof or off a tower, umate. Do the Beit Din go to the tower, or even sillier, does the tower come to the Beit Din? And if let's say the building fell down before the case happened, you rebuild the building so Beit Din can judge it? In other words, Rabbi Kiva keeps hammering at Rabbi Shimon HaTimani by pointing out to him that there's no way that Beit Din is that intensely connected to the evidence. Rather, they listen to the Edim. So therefore, Alamai Egrof Miuchad Shumasur LaEdim. He takes Shimon HaTimani's drasha, but he minimizes it. He said, just like a fist is something that the Edim see, of course Shumasur LaEdim. Similarly, it has to be something that the Edim can see. Pradlich Shiatzta Evin Mitachat Yado Shemakeh Patur. As opposed to if the guy has a rock in his hand, and they never see it, then he's Patur, because they can't testify. There has to be something that they're testifying to. Now, that is all there for the following. Rabbi Kiva said to Shimon HaTimani, did he hit the guy in front of Beit Din? Shiodin kameikau? What's the implication? Had he hit them in front of the Beit Din, Eid Nasad Dayan, they could have acted as a demon Dayanim. So it sounds like Rabbi Kiva says, Eid Nasad Dayan. And he's just saying, in this case, he didn't, in most cases, you don't commit an act in front of the Beit Din, so that's not what happened here. So the answer is Lidvarv de Rabbi Shimon HaTimani Kamar. Rabbi Kiva was just saying to you, Rabbi Shimon HaTimani, that you've constructed this case, all I'm going to counter by pointing out that it doesn't happen in front of Beit Din. Me, I would hold that in any case, but I'm just pointing out that the drusha of the pasuk is there just to limit, to exclude things where the witnesses themselves don't see the murder weapon. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, we're going to come back to this. Shortam shemit v'hizik. If you have a shortam that killed and then was mazik, danin oto dine nefashot. First we judge him to be killed, and he's killed. Ve'in danin oto dine mamonot, but the chatzi nezik is never paid. Muad shemit v'hizik, but if it's a sure muad that killed and then did damage, danin oto dine mamonot, v'chosvin danin oto dine nefashot. First we do dine mamonot, then we do dine nefashot. If they took the shor muad and first judged him to be killed, because that's what happened first, and they set him as a chayiv skila, you can no longer bring him in for the damages. Now, who cares that they judged the death first, not a murder, the death first? You brought this shor in. He killed a person. Beit Din says, Gemar Din, Shor Niskal. And then say, okay, case number two, he also hurt somebody. We've got to figure out what the owner owes. I'm a Rav Ashkotin with Rav Onan Ve'Rav. I found the students of Ve'Rav, the Yatvi Ve'Kamri. They explained it as follows. Hamani Rav Shimon HaTemani. This follows Shimon HaTemani. Tamarmai Grof Miuchad Shemasur La'eda O'Le'edim. Remember, Shimon HaTemani's opinion was that a fist is mentioned in the Pasuk because it's something that the Beit Din and the Edim have access to. Alma ba'in umdana devedina. So you see that the Beit Din has to look at the murder weapon and be able to assess, could this really have killed the guy? Vakev and the Gemar Dina Liktala, since in the case that we're constructing, they went and judged the shor first for death, and now he's going to die. We have an issue of inui hadin, of delaying din, even as far as the shor goes. Once he's been sentenced to die, we don't keep him around now so we can assess his strength vis-a-vis the nizak, and we kill him right away. But but the Rabbanan Beirav said, this could only follow Shimon HaTemani, who says that Beit Din needs to have the shor there to be able to judge, to assess the damage. V'yamin alehu ana, and Rabbah says, but I told them differently. Even Rabbi Akiva would agree with this ruling. We're talking about a case where the ox ran away, where the owner ran away. So, if the case is where the owner ran away, then even if they didn't do dinner nefashot first, in other words, you said we do mamonot, then nefashot. If they did nefashot first, we're finished. But if the guy ran away, how can you do mamonot at all? The answer is to Kabil Sahadi Uvarach. He accepted who the Edim were, and then he ran away. Once he accepted these, I agree that these are fine Edim, I'm not going to challenge them, and then he ran away. So, Sof Mehecha Mishdalim, but if that's the case, where are we going to take payment from? The answer is Miridya. We'll take this shore, and before we then take him even to Din for the killing, we'll have him work, and that work produces some money, and that money will be used to pay the Nizak. If that's the case, then in the first thing mentioned, when you have a short time that kills and does nezek, we only do the killing, why don't we first judge him for the nezek and have him work and pay from that and then kill him? That ridya, that working, plowing, and what comes out of that as a result, that's called metav. You know, that's not called guf hashor. If you remember from the first parak, a tam is only paid from the guf hashor, as opposed to a muad that's paid from metav. So, you know, the fact that we do not allow, in the case of a short tam that killed and that did damage separately, that we do not allow, the Beit Din does not first judge him for the damages and then judge him for the killing, but rather they kill him and that's it. Why? Because the only way you could pay in this case, we're talking about a guy who ran away, so there's no assets around. The only way you can get him to pay is to have the shor work and use those benefits, but that's not called guf hashor. That's called a metav, and metav cannot be used to pay for a tam. Okay, in any case, we'll pause at this point, and we're going to continue with the discussion about Omid L'Nizakin. Does the Beit Din have to be able to assess the potential for damage of the mazik in order to be able to assess, to assign liability. And from there we will go on to several small passages dealing with the different discussions, the pieces in our Mishnah, all the way until the Anandaf Tzadi Bet Amud Aleph. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.